Father, we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit. May he guide us in speaking over our son. We thank you for his family. We thank you for his mother, his wife, his children, and all the siblings, and everybody who joined here to be with us today. Speak to us clearly and give us direction. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, you notice Doug been with me 28 years. Never had no trouble out of him nor his family. Children went off to school. They're growing up on me. The Lord, in praying and talking with the family and going through them, with them through this scenario, Doug got ready to go home. He told us he was ready to go, so we let him go. I'm going to talk about a subject for a few minutes that I think would be a blessing to all of us. Died and still alive. I want you to record that. Now, you have to be a born-again believer to understand that. I mean, you can't understand that through intellect. It's a spiritual statement. He died and still alive. You have to know the difference between the physical life and the spiritual life. The physical life will come to an end, but the spiritual life will never come to an end. And then we're told there will be a reunion of those who are born again. We'll spend eternal life together. So when I was praying about this, that's what the Lord gave me, died and still alive. I think this can be a blessing to the family to recognize that Doug, another term the scripture use, is sleeping. Now, when you say he's sleeping, physically when he went to sleep when he was just a human being, you awake him. You know, you go to the room and awake him and shake him and awake him. But in spiritual sleeping, it got a word called resurrection. And we as Christian, I see. And then I want to commend the family. I think when I walk in here, you can sense in the spirit nice people. I just want to tell you, nice people, easy to be, easy to preach to. I just feel a warmth when I walked out, and I've been in many congregations, and so I want to commend you for being nice people. And it's not to pull no string, I just want to commend you for it. Real nice people. And so I want to begin in John chapter 11, a master preacher by the name of Jesus. Ministering there in John 11. And there are three or four voices I want to look at. Two sisters had got in trouble, their brother. They thought they was in trouble. But Jesus brought it to another level. And that same level is in Doug's life. Physically, Doug is not here, but spiritually, he is. Are you following me? Now, I want you to always remember that subject. Died but still alive. I want that to happen to everybody under the sound of my voice, that you die physically but you're still alive. You have eternal life, and you got to be born again for that. Born again. A lot of times people think religion is the answer. Doug was not just a church member. I want you to hear this. He was not just a church member. He's a kingdom citizen. And church membership run out, but kingdom citizenship is for eternal. And so that's why we can take it this way. That's why we can't just feel like everything gone. There's a separation, but at the same token, we will not dishonor Jesus' death. Yeah. Jesus died that we may have eternal life. Yeah. And if you act like there's nothing else, you're actually insulting the blood of Jesus. And we will not do that. We're here to celebrate that if this earthly house of a tabernacle dissolve, we recognize we have another building. Amen. So I want to preach today a revelation, just a few minutes, on eternal life that will set us free from worry and sorrow and fear, so that we may experience the presence and power of God at this hour. For our Father, which is in heaven, want us to know a believer death is really sleep. For there's a resurrection awakening. Here in John chapter 11, these two sisters got in trouble, and Jesus said something to make me understand Doug, where Doug is now. In John 11:11, the sisters that Jesus loved, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and he got sick, and they sent for Jesus. Jesus tarried. He didn't go. He tarried because something had to transpire. In the 11th verse, he said, "These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth." That's what he called death. "But I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Ooh, my goodness. Yeah. Power, there's power in Jesus to awake Doug out of sleep. That power is available. And see, we have to, as Christian, not just living by religion, but by revelation. Revelation tell me all is well. The only thing we suffer for is the separation. I won't see him sitting in that seat anymore in the natural, but yet he's still here. And so Jesus said, he sleep, now he was dead, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciple, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well." Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Now, Jesus knew what he was going to do. We get to the 21st verse in that chapter. "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died." And look what she said in verse 22. "But I know that even now," oh my goodness, it's speaking to Doug's eternal life. "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." And then Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." And I'm saying the same thing. Martha said to him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day." And then Jesus spoke to her in verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now here we go. Here we go. Here, Douglas, go. "He that believeth in me, though he was dead," woo, glory, "yet shall he live." Hallelujah. Can I get any witness? Is any Christians in the house? Wave your hand at me. "Yet shall he live." Now that's something for a wife to hear. That's something for a daughter and a son to hear and a mama to hear. "Yet shall," sister, brother, "yet shall he live." This is what we believe. This is our faith. This is our connection. And Jesus spoke the word. "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me," what? "Shall never die." Believest thou this? Yeah, I believe it, Lord. let's look at a verse. Hear this for the comfort of the family. In Psalm 23, I want you to see a verse here. And Psalm 23:4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Look what he says now. When I talked to Doug was fighting, "I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou with me, Thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort me. There's an earthly body and there's a heavenly body. There in John 14. Just want to look at a few scriptures. John 14, hallelujah. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, I want you to see a verse or two. I want this daughter, my daughter, to see this verse and hear this verse over again. I preached to her before, but I just want to preach a little bit today. And the people who went before me make it so easy. Because you know how I sit there and I watch the pastor and the person get out of the way. Then I got to deal with that. Lord have mercy. So right now I just go ahead on and preach because everybody carried themselves right. There's an earthly body and there is a heaven. And I desire everybody here to be born again. Not religious, not join the church, not just taking communion, but understanding what born again means. Born again mean accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's what it means. And that you become a child of God in your spirit. All right? Here now. The earthly body and the heavenly body. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God?
Yes, sir.
Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, thank you, Jesus, and receive you unto myself. Oh, look what he said next, that where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then understanding the revelation of the resurrection in Philippians 3:10, let the Bible preach. Philippians 3:10. Sometimes men trying to preach. Let the Bible preach. Philippians 3:10. I want you to see that. I want you to see it and I want you to hear it clearly from God's word. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. For if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So you see here we got an earthly body and a heavenly body. Then we got understanding the resurrection. Now, help us, Holy Spirit, as I go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I see people following me. I love that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, sometimes you go there, people don't follow nothing. They just sit there. No, I like people to bring your Bible or computer or something and get a hold of this thing, man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. You know, I'm taking my time. Yeah, I don't hoop and holler no more. I used to be hooping, hollering, and groaning. Can't catch my breath. Hallelujah. The sixth verse says, therefore, we are always confident knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. You see that? For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. Somebody talk to me up in here. Absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Where is Doug? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's a Christian opportunity. I love that. I love that. That's why we don't have to fall over and be tearing the chairs up. We recognize that Doug somewhere better than us. Don't have to be sick no more. Don't have to cry no more. Absent from the body and present with the Lord. Wow. Now it goes on to say, I'm going to be through in a few minutes. It goes on to say, that man preached a funeral with the saxophone. Yeah, because he had a good spirit. I watched him. He had a humble man. He's really wanted to show off. I love it, man. I love it. And I thought I almost cried. He was playing. He was preaching what he was saying, blowing that home, man. I thought the dog is well pleased. Well pleased. Give me a little time here. We walk by faith, not by sight. We're coming, as I'm saying, and willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether we are present or absent, we may be accepted by him. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord God. And then two more things I'm going to tell you, then I'm going to close. Death is swallowed up in victory. What I say? Yeah, when you're born again, when you're a child of God, you can't die. You go to sleep. You have eternal life. For God so loved the world, who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Thank God this man lived his life. He lived properly. He was a holy man. He loved his family. I mean, you can't say that about everybody. And the 28 years, like I say, he was faithful and dedicated to this ministry. And I thank God for him. He left a good record for us. Death is swallowed up in victory in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah. In verse 51, because it's victory over death. Make sure you make a note of that. Victory over death. It says in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Why, Lord? For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying. Ooh, what he say? That is written, death, oh Lord, death is swallowed up in victory. You see, when we are believers, when we trust in God, we got our hand in his hand. When a loved one step out from one dimension to another dimension, we don't have to cut up like nothing going on. We know that they coming sooner or later, but are you ready? I believe I got a house when you're ready. I look at people in this service here. I look at their face and I don't see no fear. I see that they're ready. And I'm thankful to be among you this morning. I'm thankful for this wife and these children. They know the truth. And then, you know, God's going to have to comfort them. They're going to look for him. But God going to hug them. Yeah, tell me, God can take care of you. He's here right now. Amen. He know what we're going through. He's here with us, and he's holding us, and his power and his glory is around us. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank him for his word. Thank him for his kingdom. Thank God. God is a good God. Hallelujah. I love him, and he loved me. He loved Doug. He loved his wife. He loved his children. Mama. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death. Oh, death. Where is thy sting? You had a sting, but we took it from you. Oh, grave. Where is thy victory? You had victory, but Jesus took it from you 2,000 years ago. And when he hung on that cross and... Oh, my, we got the victory. Tell somebody we got the victory. Now, you can't say that as a regular person. You can't say that from your intellect. You can't say that from your college degree. You can't say that from science. You can't say that from a pharmaceutical standpoint. You can't say it from a doctor standpoint. You can't say it from a lawyer standpoint. You can't say it from a professor standpoint. But you can say it from the standpoint of Jesus that we got the victory. Thank God we got the victory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God Doug got the victory. Thank God his family got the victory. Thank God his mama got the victory. Thank God his wife got the victory. I heard Jesus say, I'm the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Job asked the question, if a man die, shall he live again? Yeah, he live again. Because God give us eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Death is swallowed up in victory. Let me finish reading here, and I'm going to close. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory. Oh, how many of y'all love Jesus? Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We got the victory. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. So death is swallowed up in victory. And then we, if the ocean of half is dissolved, we have another house. I'm going to close reading that again in 2 Corinthians 5. I want to read a little further, and then I'll close. Whoever got it, you take care of when I finish. All right, let me. Oh yeah, thank you, Jesus. Died, but still alive. See, that's Christian talk. You see, you talk to a regular person and say, "No, he's not alive." Yeah, but they don't know no better because it's in the natural. But we're talking in a realm called a supernatural. Are you following me? He's still alive. Say it just so it's for your spirit. He's still alive. We'll miss him, but he's still alive. Hallelujah. I just want to read this to make it clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. For we know that if our earthly half of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hand, eternal in the heaven. Yes, for in this we groan, honestly, being desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we should not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. You know what I'm talking about. Yes. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. I'm reading the scripture. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Rest, Doug. We'll see you. Rest, man. Yeah, he died, but still alive. See, a Christian funeral should not be sad, per se. There is some sadness in it because you're separated, you know. But by the same token, we're not hopeless. And I think Lucretia and the children handled it well. They called me and said, Doug said he was ready to go. And so I talked with him personally. He said, yeah, I'm ready to go. I said, all right, we'll let you go. That's the way it went down. Let you go. And I told the Christians, I said, now listen, once I let a person go and they want to go, they're not going to be alone. Because you don't want to suffer and go through all the stuff that you got to go through with medicine and you're hurting and paining. So I think, Doug, now I'm going to make a statement here, going shocking. I think you're better off. That body ain't gonna get right. I don't want to be here with it. See, the body really not me. It's a house I live in. So if you're not going to act right, goodbye. I'm checking out. So keep the faith, Mom. Keep the faith. God love you. I love you. I'm not going to preach all day. The man already preached his funeral. Died, but still alive. I want you to remember that. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, son. God bless you. Let me read this to you real quick. I got this in prayer. Let's not be confused about a Christian. A Christian have eternal life. In a physical body temporarily, there's also a spiritual eternal body. The resurrection is real because Jesus' resurrection was real. Physical separation is not the end for those who are born again. We have a natural life, but we also have a supernatural life waiting on us. God bless you. Yeah.